Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Sarah Hartman, who is Senior Director for Payment Solutions at TSYS. Sarah, thanks for joining me today.
Sure. Great to be here, Karen.
So I'm excited to talk to you today about your fifth annual survey of U.S. consumer payment choice. And I think what's so interesting about the study is that you have, over the last 5 years, talked to 1,000 consumers and taken their temperature on a variety of things related to payment types and preferences and incentives and motivations. And so I'd like to start with maybe what seems like an obvious question. It's year five. What jumps out at you as some of the really different findings this year versus prior years?
That's a great question, Karen. I'd like to start with mentioning something that we've seen that's been the same over the 5 years and then talk about some of the differences. We've seen a very consistent story from consumers using rewards and loyalty to encourage payment behavior. So interestingly, although we do want to share some of the differences too, that's been a very consistent story, that what will most encourage consumers to change what card they use and some of their payment behaviors continues to be that rewards and loyalty component. And this year and last year, we found over 50% of consumers find that the most attractive. But on to the differences, the probably the most obvious one is the growth we've seen in the interest in the mobile space. Of course, just as an industry, that's been a big area of focus, not just payments, but just using mobile to conduct business. And we've seen very steady growth and interest levels there, starting with using mobile for things like checking balances and looking at websites to seeing now the increase in using that for payments. And then the last thing that I'd mention is we have seen over the last 3 years in particular, the preference for use of credit about the same, but debit decreased somewhat. So we really attribute that to, again, that increase in e-commerce and mobile use where credit is typically preferred. And then also the economy, of course, has been growing. So, you know, consumers are using credit more. But even with that, we still see consumers pay for things differently depending on both the amount and the type of purchase.
Interesting. So let's dig into those one by one. It kind of makes sense if rewards are such a big piece of why consumers are using a payment method that now that the economy is starting to turn around, that consumers feel more comfortable using credit to get the points they probably don't with their debit product because they feel that they're getting rewarded for doing it and there's no risk associated with using a credit card to pay. They feel more comfortable that they'll be able to manage that risk. Is that your conclusion?
I think more consumers are using credit more. Again, debit is still very highly preferred, and consumers typically use their debit cards for that everyday spend. So, you know, grocery purchases, purchases made at gas stations and other types of locations. Consumers also like to use debit for a budgeting tool. So definitely still a lot of interest in debit. And actually, if you look at the study, I believe debit's actually still slightly higher than credit if you ask them their most preferred card. It's just that we've seen a decline in use. So again, consumers are certainly enjoying credit and they enjoy those rewards.
I thought one of the charts that was so interesting in the study was the chart where consumers were asked how likely they would be to load a particular type of card into a mobile device or an application. And I was expecting to see a bigger difference between debit and credit. If you look at the numbers, debit is maybe a little less likely, but not all that much.
Sure. I was a little surprised by that as well, Karen. I would have also expected to see credit to be a little bit more differentiated there. But I think that speaks to the rollouts that we've seen in the last year. And if you look at mobile app usage as an example, the banking apps rate very highly. So consumers still very much value that security they associate with their financial institution. And particularly with debit cards, they associate that with their financial institution also. So I believe that's why we're seeing those numbers. But we hope to delve into that a little further with our next study because we found that interesting also.
So let's talk a little bit about mobile apps and how financial institutions are using them. Obviously, mobile banking is extraordinarily popular, not to mention very convenient, and consumers like to monitor their transaction activity, certainly at a minimum, and perhaps even additional functionality like transferring money and so forth. But how are FIs using the mobile app and that capability to do other things to engage consumers?
So what we've found both from the consumer side and the bank side, that they're continuing to add additional services to those mobile apps, which I think is important because they are so highly valued by the consumers. So in addition to being able to do things like view balances and view transactions, many of the institutions have added their bill pay capabilities. They've added offers. They've added the ability to make deposits, which is very highly valued by the consumers. And I think we'll see more in the payment space as we move down the road as well.
One of the other things I thought was surprising, I'm sure you did as well, was the response to questions about chip cards and the level of awareness that consumers have about these cards. Tell us a little bit about what your study revealed and your reaction to it, and I guess more importantly, how you're advising financial institutions to correct what appears to be a knowledge deficiency with respect to consumers on that score.
Very timely question with where we are with our migration to chip here in the U.S. Although we saw that 13% number of respondents that were unsure if they'd received a chip card, and there's still definitely room for education. When I looked at last year's study, last year we showed that 52% of consumers didn't know what a chip card was. So we've come a really long way in 1 year. And I think that the key is education from the issuers, from the merchants, and from the industry itself is just going to be critically important as we continue down the path. We have more and more merchants that are enabling their terminals. I'm sure you saw the recent announcement by the Payment Security Task Force that they're projecting that over 60% of their consumer credit and debit cards will have chips by the end of this year, and they're looking at 98% by the end of 2017, and that group represents 50% of the U.S. market. So we've got a lot of chip cards already in the market, and the number we're going to see in the next year is going to really grow. So that education needs to continue.
Did you address in the study the consumer interest, awareness, or usage with respect to mobile payments in store?
I don't believe we specifically talked about in-store with a separate question on that, Karen. We asked about adding their cards on retailer sites and storing them there, and then we asked, I believe, generally about the use of mobile payments to pay. I think we had an in-store transaction question. We did have a question about actions they took in the last year if they'd made a payment at a retail location with a mobile device. That number is still relatively small.
Right. So as you reflect on the study and you think about advising financial institutions on how to make the most of this new channel for them and their customers, what are a couple of the things that pop to mind with respect to what you'd like them to do and perhaps do differently?
Well, I think overall there's a lot of opportunities for financial institutions, particularly with the whole mobile channel, not just payments, but information and marketing and financial services. I think consumers show with their answers that they value the relationship they have with the financial institution as far as the security aspect, which puts the financial institutions in a unique position of being able to grow those services that they provide to the consumers. Again, we were quite surprised initially at how highly used the financial apps were, and I think that's a great message to the financial institutions. The consumers like the apps, they go to them, they trust them, which puts those financial institutions in a great position to add additional services there, such as alerts and marketing opportunities and payments. So I think continuing to look at what they can do there and work with partners such as TSYS on providing those offerings, we think is going to be very critical.
Yeah, I mean, I think you raised a good point, and that is consumers trust the mobile apps that they get from their bank. And I know the ones that I use, I do, for many, many reasons. You just feel comfortable transacting within an environment that is within the control of the bank, even when it involves transferring money from one account to another. So I think that's a really strong attribute and relationship differentiator that FIs have the opportunity to really leverage. Well, Sarah, it was so interesting to talk to you about the insights that you feel are very important to focus on from the study. There's a lot of rich information in the study itself, which of course is available on payments.com. So thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Karen. I enjoyed speaking with you.